John the Evangelist begins our reading today with these words that are not often used in our language. Now, a portion of it is the word love, right? John repetitively says throughout this passage, we should love because we are loved. And God is love, and because God is love, if we put our hope in God, then God is in us and God's loving in us. John begins this writing by making a proclamation. In fact, a unison proclamation may be similar to our prayer that we share in today when we call it a prayer of confession, a prayer in unison, or perhaps our affirmation of faith that we embrace together as the Apostles' Creed. It says when we practice those forms of worship that we are of one accord. We're in unison or in communion. So John begins by saying, addressing the believers in this way, beloved. The noun, as Monty and I were going back and forth this morning, Pat, and the word we're right over, is beloved an adverb? Is it an adjective? Is it a noun? The answer is yes. It can be all. As John addresses his readers, and let's take it a step further and say, as he addresses us this day, he recognizes us as beloved. So the next question for me, the curious mind, is what does it mean to be the beloved? So I went to my trusty dictionary and looked it up. To be the beloved is much more than simply being loved. It's a deep, passionate, fearless love for the other. A love that cherishes the one we bestow that emotion upon, Norris. It's an irresistible desire to be in the presence and offer our affection for the one we love. That's what it means to be beloved. And those are the words that John says that God feels for us when we are looked upon as his children. Wow, can we say amen and go home? What more is there to our faith and in our call to worship than to know that we are cherished by Almighty God? I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I'm not so cherishable. Sometimes I'm less than lovable. No amens over here from the Hill family. Sometimes I'm less than irresistible. Aren't we all? And even then, or perhaps more so then, God claims us as beloved. What does it mean to be beloved then? If we have a better understanding of what beloved is, the scripture says this. This is the depths of God's love for us. I've kept my iPhone up here this morning where I can read these texts specifically. I want to get John's words exact. As he says in verse 9 and 10, here is what it means to be beloved. God's love was revealed to us in this way. God sent his Son, his only Son, into the world so that we might live through him. Friends, that's what it means to be beloved. That God would sacrifice his own Son so that we may have life through him in life. We are worthy of being saved, our Lord says. And in verse 10, he continues by saying, in this love, that God has for us. Not only that God loved, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. He wants to clarify, make sure there's no miscommunication that your sins are conquered forever through the love and grace and life-giving sacrifice of Jesus Christ, God's Son. So in spite of me being less than cherishable at times, less than perfect, less than worthy of love, God came to that portion of my life, my brokenness, my anger, my lying, my cheating, my stealing, my selfishness. He came to me in my most vulnerable state and offered His vulnerability as a Savior that I could be restored through His love. I am beloved, and so are you. You see, that's the heart of the gospel message. I read an article just recently where Kathy Ireland, a world famous supermodel, was interviewed, and she shared about her life of faith. How she began her career as a young model living in a flat in Paris all alone, fearful, trying to make it in the industry. She said, in some ways, being photographed and a model, it seems like a luxurious lifestyle, but it was terrifying. And she said, one night I was in my flat, and in the bottom of my suitcase, after a visit, my mom had packed a Bible. She said, I opened it and I didn't even know how to read it. She said, my eyes came to the Gospel of Matthew. She said, I started reading about Jesus and His love. And she said, what made it real for me in a way the faith, Tommy, never had been before, was that I saw Jesus so powerful, so loving, and so affirming of me as a woman. You see, what was the light bulb moment for her was because she said many men in our industry were a bit sketchy, to say it nicely. They were out for their own motives, to take advantage of young girls like her. But she saw in Jesus one who loved her, cherished her. And she said, in that understanding, I saw love, and I wanted Him as the Lord of my life. See, friends, that's what love does. When we understand, Fred, the depths of God's love for us, it changes us forever. We want Jesus, in the words of Kathy Ireland, to truly be Lord of our life. Yes, because the gift of salvation that John spoke of today. As John says, because when we have Christ in our life, we are delivered from death forever, from fear. It's conquered, Randall. But not only is the promise eternal, Vince, the promise is for now. Friends, this isn't preacher talk. It's a sojourner along the way like you. And as we heard Jennifer read about today, that Ethiopian eunuch that was seeking for a better life, who'd gone to worship, to count his blessings, and found in his baptism with Philip a joy that he'd never known in all of his wealth, and all of his prestige and power as the Kandaki of the country of Ethiopia. He found in Christ a fullness and a love that he'd never known. You see, that's the part I say to you. It's not preacher talk. I'm the sojourner with the Ethiopian, as are you. And the promise in saying, friends, when we trust Jesus as the Lord of our life, when we trust Jesus and His love for our marriage, in our businesses, for our careers, with our professions, there's a joy and there's a fullness that nothing in the world can give. That's been my experience. And I pray it's been yours. I've trusted so many things, so many temptations, so many wanderings that left me ultimately empty. Because friends, there's a hole in our life that nothing can fill but Almighty God and the love of Jesus Christ. If you know that love, you know what I'm talking about. If you've never began that journey, we can do that today. If you want to renew your passion for Christ so that His love will give you a joy that you don't know, you can renew that journey even in this moment. For our Lord is eager and yearning to proclaim His love to us all. So this is what it means to be beloved. And this is a picture of the God that we serve. So now the question I transition to, and I want to read these scriptures again, is now that we understand more what it means to be beloved, how do we respond to being beloved? Here's what the scripture says. John explains it quite well. Our response is this: those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandments we have from them is this. It's pretty simple. John says right here. Here's the commandment. Those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. Wow, John's gone to meddling. I was all right when I knew I was loved, Lorenzo. I was all right when I knew that I needed to love God back in worship. But now John's telling me, I got to love all these other knuckleheads. It's hard enough that I'm the knucklehead, Lynn, and know that God loves me. But I have to love the knucklehead in the other? Is that what he's saying? I have to love everybody, Judy, even at their worst, as God loved me at my worst? There's a game in racquetball called cutthroat. And you play that game when there's three of you instead of two of you or four. And in cutthroat, the objective is simple. It's one against two. And the server is trying to make his or her point against the other two that are trying to help him lose their point. And in that game of cutthroat, like many sports, you seek out your opponent's weaknesses and you try to capitalize on them so that they will be defeated and you will be victorious. They don't call it cutthroat for nothing, do they? That sounds mean. And in many ways, our pursuits for victory in this life can be a lot like a game of cutthroat. Whether it's our passion for our position, whether it be social, political, in the business world, our own objectives and desires. Sometimes we have a desire to win at all cost, capitalize on our opponent's weaknesses. But John says this about our faith. He says, we are beloved. And as beloved, we are to proclaim the hope of Jesus Christ to all creation. We are the church. We're different. We are the message of the good news of the gospel. And we proclaim it, how, Pat? By simply loving the other as we've been loved.
Friends, I believe the hope for our nation, the hope for our world, is the love of Jesus Christ, and He's entrusted it to us for all around. John says, love as you've been loved. And if you don't love, gosh, John is really pressing it here. He said, I'm not sure that God's abiding in you in the first place. You're lying about your faith. Because if you are loved, you can't help but love the other. Have you ever thought about that? You can't be loved, I'm convinced, and not want to give it away. Want to love somebody else. I read an article recently about a dog named Fido. Y'all ever heard of a dog called Fido? I always thought that was just it's kind of a generic name for any dog, right? But look it up. Wikipedia, great resource. Don't know if it's always accurate, but it's got some good stuff in it. Kind of like my sermons. Fido was an actual dog. Sure was. It's a dog in Italy. One day this man found Fido, and he was strangely and mangy and looked terrible, and he followed him home. He decided, well, we're going to feed him. He and his wife did, and they took care of Fido. Every day the man would walk to the park, catch train, go to work. Fido would follow him. Sit there all day and wait for his master to come home, then he'd walk back with him. This went on for 2 years, Fido displaying his loyalty, his affection, his love. Tragically, his master died unexpectedly. Fido lived for another 10 years. And every day, 5,000 days for the next 10 years, he would walk to that park, wait all day, searching for his master to return. Sometimes I wish I could love like Fido. And understand that when the Master changes my existence, there's a loyalty, there's a faithfulness, there's a desire to live out my love for all to see. Friends, here's the end of the story. We are called to love. As John said, because God first loved us. But here's the trade-off. When we do love, we like Fido the dog, guess what? We get the benefit of dwelling in relationship with a master who will nurture us, love us, and sustain us forever. Thanks be to God that we are beloved. Amen.